Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Peter 2, verse 3. This is God's word concerning someone. Give him Amplify. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, Amplified Translation. This is what God said to say to someone in the house. He said, 1 Peter 2, okay, Amplify. He said, since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. Somebody here, you are going to taste the goodness of God. That way you may stand on one leg. I say you are going to taste the goodness of God. And not just the goodness of God, but the kindness of God. And it's going to be the beginning of a new thing in your life. That you will not just taste it once and you won't see it again. It will be a continuous experience. In the name of Jesus. I say it will not be once upon a time. It's going to be continuous. In the name of Jesus. And then, actually, let me read it the way I received it. God says, someone in the meeting, you are going to taste and have a taste of goodness of God before this month ends. And it will begin something major in your life. I say it will begin something major in your life. Is your reality already? Is your reality already? In Jesus, sorry. Is your reality already? In Jesus' name. Please, can you celebrate the worship team with me? Glory to God. Can you celebrate yourself? And please, let me celebrate Pastor Lois James. Thank you so much, man, for you. I love you so much. Glory to God. No. Who enters Pastor Lois? I always prefer that she end the series than for there to be a part that will continue. Now she has given us all the remas. So what we are left with now, God will help us. So last week she did an amazing job on insisting on the word, right? We are blessed or blessed. So pray for your pastor that will be able to preach after the powerful sermon she has given us. Glory to God. We celebrate it greatly, man. Thank you so much for all you do. God bless you, man. All right, glory to God. I say glory to God. Please celebrate somebody to your right and to your left and tell them, hope your pen is ready. It's going to be a long ride. Father, bless our heart. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, say you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Say you open the eyes of understanding to the knowledge of the world. In the name of Jesus, let the eyes of understanding be enlightened, that we will know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of our glory and inheritance as Christians. In Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. All right, please, let's be seated powerfully in God's presence. Glory to God. Please, let me celebrate the sand people. They were able to help us resurrect Please, please celebrate them. Don't worry, they are just bringing the air from the apple. The live, please, can you help me celebrate the people live streaming? Our online audience. Is that how we celebrate here? Let's celebrate that they'll be hearing us. Alright, glory to God. Please, the live stream people confirm that this sound is okay.
If it's okay, I think I'll continue. If not, I can always switch to the handheld. No pressure. Mr. James, please confirm that the sound you are having is okay. And then I can continue. All right. Glory to God. This is the building church. Our vision is to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life, to live a life of impact and societal transformation, right? You will not see it alongside now. Are you afraid? We are 2, 3, let's go. To build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life, for a life of. And that is strongly rooted in Luke 12, verse 15b. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. So if it means, if a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession, it means a man's life consists in the abundance of his impact. Somebody say impact. Yes. So that you are rich towards God and you are rich towards men. This scripture is actually talking about the foolish rich man. That was where the scripture is coming from. So the man said, he said, my soul, make merry, relax. I have so much now to keep in store. We are going to enjoy ourselves. And I said, when I saw that scripture, I did not see him commit any sin there. He did not commit any sin. He did not abuse God. He did not say that God, whatever. He was hardworking. He did everything. But Jesus said that, no, that the reason why his life is asked of him is because he was not rich towards God. And a man that is not rich towards God cannot be rich towards men. Because if you are not rich towards the God you can't see, what about the ones you can see? So that is where Jesus got that. I don't know why these people are not following me. Please preach alongside me. I'm explaining a scripture and you are not following through. Or you want us to celebrate you too. Please celebrate the people doing projection. Send everybody and everybody celebrate yourself. Glory to God. So the man was not rich towards God. And then God was like, you are not rich towards me. Your life will be required of you today. So what it implies is that at the building church, you are not just built to be selfish. You are not just built to enjoy life and then go on vacation. You know what I'm saying? You want to eat and die. No. The redefinition of your life actually is traced to how many people are lifted through your life. And I'm praying for you. Men will be lifted through your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Another thing I want to stress is that our emphasis are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayers, and what? And reaching out. That being said, we have been praying. Some of you have not been joining prayer. You see, if you belong to a house and you are a stranger in that house, it's not correct. Go and listen to Building a Growth Ecosystem that will preach on Sunday. Listen to it over and over again. It will bless you. And then you should know that you are supposed to be part of prayer. Every morning by 6 a.m. we meet on Telegram. That should not be alien to you, right? We meet on Telegram every morning between the hour of 6 and 7. It's just, we don't need to reach 7. So you should scan through. I think Mr. James is our scan ready. You should be able to scan through and join the Telegram group. And then join the WhatsApp channel also. They are going to give you one paper that you can scan later on. Glory to God. And then the next announcement I actually want to make is about BCLA. BCLA is the Building Church Leadership Academy. And I think because of the inquiries I've received, I think maybe the information was not properly communicated. You know, the announcement that was made, the announcement team are doing an amazing job. I think they were announcing based on what they understood it to be. So what we said is that if you check the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, Genesis 18:19, it said, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household. Wait, I have chosen him so that he will direct his children, number one, and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for the building church what he has promised her. So God has given us an instruction to train people. Now, this is what I was saying. I think the word permanent was misunderstood. I was saying it. I said there is no way any man can serve under man's vision permanently. You can only serve based on the span of how God has given you clarity before he give you under work. Because God did not send you to the head not to have a purpose. Are we on the same page? Are we still together? So the first, there are three criteria that are needed for you to be in BCLA. It's not for everyone. The first thing is, maybe at any point in your life, God has given you an instruction to come and serve in the house. And then you know that this service that God gave you instruction for have to do with serving the workforce, serving as a leader, or serving at ministerial level. You see, that is the third category. Serving as a leader, serving as a workforce, or serving in the ministerial capacity. Now, this is what it means. We don't employ pastors. We build our men. We build our men. And then, very currently, you see that what we are running currently is delegate. We are not running leadership yet. So the structure God gave us for our leaders is that they are trained before they even become leaders. So if you fall into the category of God has ever given you instruction, you are coming to come and serve the house, then you are coming to serve the house at any capacity, workforce level, leadership level, and then maybe ministerial level. And then the reason why we put all these things together is because the instructions of God are in phases. If somebody had told me maybe 5 years ago that I was going to run a church, I would not, in fact, even if they give me training, I would not accept. I would say, like me, I'm not going to be. So God is going to be giving us instructions in phases. So, and we don't have all the time that when God now gave you one instruction you are now trying to catch up with, then we'll not start training you. There's no time for all those things. So, but another emphasis now is that this thing is not open to the general public. We are not saying that any person can just come and join. Look at that. He said, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children. What it implies is that the people that are receiving the training now, number one is that you have received an instruction, or you perceive in your spirit already that you're supposed to come and serve in the house, either at workforce level, leadership level, or ministerial level. That BCLA is for you. And it's going to close on November 16th. November 16th is a Sunday. The registration will close. So we can start putting structure in place for those that have registered. That is the first thing. The second thing is that it is a long-term plan. A long-term plan does not mean permanent term plan. Long-term plan means that, just imagine with me for a while, hope you know the training would not take anything less than 6 months. Now, we have not finished training you in 6 months. You now say you are traveling. Where do you want us to put the account? The balance account. The account is not balanceable now, because the reason why we are training you is so that you can be prepared for the work of ministry. Now, the work of ministry does not mean you are going to become a pastor. Because now, before you now put it as, I'm going to graduate in 6 months. If you don't call me a pastor, it's just one of the things you need to be able to function effectively. Are we on the same page? That is the number two. So the first one is that you have an instruction to serve at workforce level, leadership level, or ministerial level. That class is for you. The second one is that you have a long-term plan. Long-term. Long-term plan in this context means that it's nothing less than 1 year. Nothing less than 2 years. Are we on the same page? That this is a long time after you have been trained, because your training is going to take nothing less than 6 months. If we are very fast. Yes, if we are very fast. It's not going to take anything less than 6 months. And it's not for online people, it's for on-site. On-site people, don't worry. The way we'll be able to run the curriculum is such that if we finish one, we can now go to the next section. Why these ones are being rolled into the system gradually. Then the last one, which is the most important one, is that you must be a son or daughter. It's not for somebody that is just going and say, I've not been trained in my life before. I want to be trained. You see, you can go to KSOM, Koinonia School of Ministry. So you get FMA, Freedom Ministry Academy, and CLC. You can go to all those places. You'll be trained. It's not as if we are not going to train. In fact, if you come to church, you will hear the word. See, you get. But this strictly is for people that have identified themselves as a son of the house or a daughter of the house. Is that clear enough? I think that is simple. So don't mistake the permanent as if When you now want to go, now say you remember the oath you took. Yeah, you know. The long term simply means that after you have been trained, you'll be rolled into the system gradually. I think I've clarified that now. All right. Glory, very quickly, glory to God. I had something in mind that I wanted to teach us before, but I think the Holy Spirit hijacked that. Something in mind that I wanted to do rather. But the Holy Spirit hijacked that. And I'm going to be teaching today actually on a very interesting topic that I don't think I've taught in years. No, Kai, I have not. I don't think I've even taught it before. I know it personally, but I don't teach it. So some of you will be shocked that, hey, we are hearing this now. Actually, the title of today's charge is called The Altar of a Speaking Priest. Yeah. In our Proclaim series, this is one of these issues. The Altar of a Speaking Priest. I think I will be spelling things now. Altar. A-L-T-A-R. The Altar of a Speaking Priest. The Altar of a Speaking Priest. I did not say the altar of a priest, though. The altar of a speaking priest. Please, can we say that together? Now, I'm not going to jump into this without first carrying us through what Mama said last week. Powerful scripture. In Mark 11, she was showing us Mark 11 from verse 23. He said, what sins soever ye desire? He said, I tell you, if anyone, you see, if I'm quoting her, you should give me a KJV. See, you get. So you just go carry me to get. He said, for very I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be that true and be that all of that, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like KJV, but let's keep continuing. For verily I say unto you, or just always give me NKJV, I think, but leave it, it's okay. Don't worry, I will not talk. For verily, please can we read together? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall, you see, unto this mountain. Now wait, whosoever, can you see now, it not say the pastor that say, is whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou what? Removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what in his heart? Doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart. He said, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Next verse, very quickly. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive. And you see, in this kingdom, actually, after you believe, you will receive. And your reception is not even the physical one, it's the spiritual one. You first have to receive it in the spirit realm before you receive it physically. And there are two kinds of life you have as a believer. You actually have a life that is a spiritual life. And then you have a life that is bios, that is run by blood. Bios is run by blood. And that's why the Bible says the life of any organism is where? Is in its blood. So you live in two realms. You live and make legislation in the realm of the spirit, and then you live to see the actualization of it in the physical realm. Are we on the same page? So you say, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when my wife was talking, she said that confession and prayer are not the same thing, which is true. Because most times now, some of you are substitute confession for prayer. You just show up and say, me, I'm the head, me in the movement, me whatever, and then you don't have a prayer life. You don't pray. It's not the same. He said, when you have a desire, the first thing is that you pray. And when you pray, you believe. And when you believe in your heart. So that means that the things you are praying are strengthened by what? And then she make reference to three things that we need actually. When she was talking about, you must have the word, right? When you want to confess, you have the word. Then you pray the word. You pray the word. You pray the word. That is, any word you receive, you go and pray it up. When you have desire, the Bible say you pray. He say you believe in your heart, and then you receive what you say. So, but why she was also saying that, she actually touched a bit on, she wanted to touch a bit actually on positive speaking and confession. So I cannot go into that priesthood speaking without first telling you what positive speaking is and what confession is. So I need to first establish what confession is not. Confession is not waking up and standing in front of mirror and say, ah, Jeremiah James, I cannot be poor. I move like this. You see, that thing, what it does is that it massages your emotions. It's not strong enough to bring about the actualization of what you are saying. And that is why some of you have been saying that thing for 10 years and you are not seeing any results. What you are doing is that you are massaging your emotion. You are priming your hope. And that is why the Bible says that hope defer make the heart sick. He said, but a longing fulfill is a tree of life. Hope will be defer if it is positive speaking. Okay. If it is positive speaking, hope will be deferred. You see, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the longing for fear is a tree of life. So what it implies that why you are saying, hey, me, I cannot do whatever. Me, I'm moving. What is backing it up? Don't forget, we say the altar of a speaking priest. Ah, you will be blessed with you. Tell yourself I am blessed. All right, very quickly because of my time, let me just run through this positive speaking and confession. The difference between positive speaking and confession. Many believers talk positively, but not faithfully. Yeah, positive speaking. It cannot finish. And then it's not backed up by anything. Kofo, lasan. You don't understand. Hope you know that there's a way you can even be speaking in tongue that is agulu. I said I did some teaching sometimes back called protecting the blessing. Protecting the blessing. As a blessed man, you can't keep malice. As the one that wants to talk, your tongue cannot be effective if it's not backed up with love. Paul showed us. He said, any man that speaks in tongue but does not love his brother, he says it's like a noisy cymbal. You know what I'm saying? Who can noisy me? So you are speaking a Gala tongue, you are speaking Chinese tongue, then after some time you move to French on freke, freginose, fregede, prego, and then that is noise. Why? Because the substance is not there. The container is there, but the content is long gone. It's not what we say in prayer. That's, in fact, a time will come when that your confession will become babbling and vain repetition because it lacks the power to back what you are saying. Car, after today, bah, your orientation about your words will change. So positive words may inspire the mind, but only faith-filled confession moves the hand of God. Your mind is inspired when you say, hi, I cannot be poor. You have been saying it for 10 years. I cannot be poor. Look at you now. There is nothing backing that word you are saying. And that is why I said that proclaim that we say want to come and proclaim. It's not as if it's positive speaking. You go to your status, the rich guy is here. Tie. It must be backed up. Hi. My prayer. So prayer and confession are not the same. When you receive the word from God, you first go and cattle and banu it. Settle it in the place of prayer before you start insisting on the word. So, Kinetic in one's thought, he said that the words of your mouth are the building blocks of your faith life. The words of your mouth. And that is why a man cannot have faith in his heart and it won't show in his mouth. You can't have faith in your heart, and it's not showing your mouth. Glory to God. There is a large difference between motivational, positive speaking, and spiritual confession of faith. Number one, what is even speaking positively? Positive speaking, actually, is the heart of saying encouraging or optimistic things about life or situations. Based on human reasoning, mental attitude, or positive outlook. I come again. Positive speaking is the art of saying encouraging or positive or optimistic things about life or situations based on human reasoning, mental attitude, or positive outlook. Example, you say things like, things will be better. Things will get better. I am strong and happy. Tomorrow will be good. And Bishop Oyedepo beautifully said, he said, things change with time. Things change with time. But time in itself changes nothing. It's like me saying, I am going to harvest. I am going to clinic. You see, it's likened to that thing in Proverbs. Let me look at it. Where the Bible was saying empty word lead to, but cheap talk or something like that lead to penury or something like that. Hard work lead to, it was what I'm saying this now, I just remember that scripture. Hard word lead to something, but cheap talk or something like lead to penury. Something like that, cheap talk or penury. Shall look for it in Proverbs. 14:20, okay, thank you. 23, you see, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So, mere talk is when you say, me, I can't be poor, me, I can't be whatever, and you are sleeping 9 to 5, while others are doing 9 to 5. The Bible says mere word leads only to poverty. What it implies, if I say I cannot be poor, then I should, my confession should not be answering what I'm saying. It means that I will have to be hardworking. I can't be poor. I can't be poor. I remember one time like that, my head, I was feeling somehow in my head. I make all the confession I want to make. I make it. I quickly lie down and carry duvet and put it on my body. Then when I didn't know work. It appeared like it didn't know work. I call my wife. I said, lay hands and pray for the man of God. After she prayed, it was like this thing has moved from the head to the back. Kai. Then, and I knew the Holy Spirit just missed out to me where I was missing it. The Holy Spirit said, the person that is ill, does this lie down on the bed? What does the person that is ill does? I said, that is true. Any person that is ill. So, I am not moved by my feelings. I am moved by the conviction of what I'm saying. So immediately I stood up. I started jumping around the room. And then immediately my head catch up with my faith. I did not say a day after that same night. I told before she said, eat whatever. I said, hey, whatever. Later I said, that food, help me bring it. Because a sick person lie down. Somebody that is not, because you are confessing something and you are doing like the opposite of what you are confessing. I can't be poor. I can't be poor. You are wearing one slippers around. Your confession and your action should match. I am married. They say all the single people come out that are trusting God for marriage. You jump out. I remember the time that we stopped. Because this is what God told me. I found it. He said, how you will know you have hit the jackpot of faith is that you will have the joy of a owner. Wait. Please. How many of you have ever ordered anything from Jumia before? When you order the thing, hope you know it will take at least 3 days for it to come. Imagine with me, for example, that person may order Cybertruck from Temu. I'm just kidding. Hope you know his key order they will send to him. But I'm just kidding. Let's say you order Cybertruck from maybe all this car stuff. Alright? And then, okay. I've used him already. Let me continue using him. So, he had ordered Cybertruck from whatever. And then we are in church. We are now saying that every person trusting God, the car is coming. He has paid. It's not as if he's on faith. He had paid. But the car, has he seen the car? Then we now say, praise God, every person trusting God for Cybertruck come out and he jump out. That is what some of you do when you say you have faith. You don't have the joy of your owner. I remember, please be seated, sir. I remember when this our car, before our car came, they have sent the picture to us. We saw how it looked like. And then we now started seeing, we started rejoicing with the people that have the car. That we have. We were not trusting God for the car. We had the car, but it has not come. You have not seen it. So that is why the Bible says, let him believe that he received. That is faith. When you are confessing it, you just know that you have received it. Your action should not be anti your confession. You say, I can't spend any 1 second in this school, And you know you have carryover. You have used your mouth to say, I cannot have carryover. Then all of a sudden, your LA still told you that, I hope you have registered the course. You say, not me in Jesus' name. God is my strength or whatever. And then, when you quickly go and ask your mate, And he said, when is the registration closing? You know, you are entering your confession. Do we get that enough? So that what positive speaking does is that it ginger your heart until reality down on you. And then you quickly know that, it's nonsense you have been saying. Because there's nothing that, I was telling my wife, for example, I said we have done some crazy things. Take, for instance, our baby to swallow lithium battery. Lithium battery, she was not eating, she was vomiting, she was doing all manner of things. And then they carry us to the hospital and put us there that they are putting our other observation and all of that. Then I saw that she was healed already in the hospital while I was lying down there. And then around 5 a.m., I said they should go and call the nurse that we are going home. They said they have not discharged us. I said we have been discharged. Do you know what it means? It took us 3 years to get that child. Now, the child has swallowed lithium battery when our 1 year birthday is closed. So you get, look at the body in front of us. And then we not discharge ourselves. God, that is how faith look like. You can't try it. Something you have waited on God for finally came. Batteries inside your baby's stomach for how many days? Then the doctors, they now told us, I carry out the bag. I say, I mean, I'm going home. I've gone home. I'm not saying you should do the same. Wait, so. Let me quickly say this. This is strongly revelation now. Don't try it at home. I'm telling you the truth. So, because today I was just like, what did we eat? Why did we even carry her out of the hospital? I think we have done some things when it comes to faith. But I was not guessing. I was too sure. I just knew that if hospital can do it, God has done it. Look at it now. When you are feeling pain, the doctor told you that if I inject you here, the pain will stop. You believed him because you can see him. I'm much more of a God that he doesn't need to take away the pain. He can create another hand. A doctor will tell you that after 2 weeks, this thing you are feeling, you will not feel it again. And you believed. You are busy taking the drug, but you don't want to take the word. So I told me, as if I carry the cup and I did not take it. Let me take it. the drug was bitter. You keep taking it because they gave you hope that in 2 weeks it will be done over. But who told you that the word is also sweet? It will be bitter. I say I find that word. I didn't eat them. Now when it was eating it, he said it was bitter in the mouth. But when it gets inside, that is where the sweetness is. You cannot go home. The doctor cannot ask you to go home and not give you medication and you believe him. He said, even if they say you should be rubbing it, you still believe. At least they gave you something. Even if it's a camel they gave you that you are rubbing, your mind believe it that this is a camel. I'm believing according to the doctor, I should be here. How much more of the word? How will you be rubbing the word on your life and you did not believe that it caused a change, yet you believe a doctor? That be rubbing this thing every morning. That drug, you will close your eyes. Some of you will put it inside Amala and swallow. That is how you're supposed to be swallowing the word too. Because a change cannot come in your life if it's not backed up by the word. And that's why I said, when your problem come and asks you, who sent you? What will you say? Confession is saying the same thing as another. And the only place you can find the word is in the word. You see, when I go to my check, Psalm 119 verse 13, MSG's translation of it, and I like it. Did you know what he said? MSG. He said, I will transfer to my lips all the cancer that comes from your mouth. Confession is not something you pre-think. It is not some positive things you just say, tomorrow will be better. I'm going to move tomorrow. Who told you tomorrow will be better? Because the Bible says in Lamentation chapter 3 verse 37, he said, who can say it and have it come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentations 3:37. Who can say it and have it come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Give it to me in Living Bible for me to even show them. Living Bible, please. He said, for who can act against you without the Lord's permission? I come in the volume of who Christian about me. I'm not guessing things. I'm saying the same as another. He said, when they ask you, tell them this, and they will let you go. That problem, you have not been telling it enough. That's why it has not let you go. I just feel somebody need to pray. As you are seated, you don't need to sit. You don't need to stand, rather. Just pray. Those problems, those challenges that have not let you go, it could be financial limitation. If you find a limitation, it could be marital delay, seemingly. The prayer you are praying is that, God, please give me the word that I will say back to that challenge. God, you can't say what God said for to that challenge and the challenge will persist. Pray. The way I even pray, I'm suspecting you. Pray. You can do better than what you are doing now. Just one more. I just feel that some of you need to set to it. Don't forget, the altar of a speaking priest. The altar of a speaking priest. You can do better than what you are doing now. The altar of a speaking priest. And if you do it like standing, you can stand. You just few more seconds, but if you do you like standing, you can stand. Insist on the word. Say, Father, reveal the word to me for this problem. Let me have the word for this challenge. This thing that I've been bothering me. I just need the word. Who is it you told me? Once I have the word in that direction, in that area, I'm okay. Pray. Pray. Give me your word, Lord. Give me your word. That I can set that challenge. They tell them the Lord needs this. What some of you need is just the word that you are going to say to that miscarriage. Is the word you are going to say to that stagnation. Is the word you are going to say to that poverty. And it will let you go. And it will let you go. And it will let you go. Ah, kemara makosi keila. Arabababa kosa kemana hai. You can do better than what you are doing now. I think I should extend the time for some of you. I think as you are saying, if he do you well, when you have decided, he said you will break loose. When you have decided, he said you will break loose. When you have decided, he said you will break loose. Just one word from the master can change everything. Because the Bible says, who can say a thing and have it come to pass? When the Lord has not declared it. When the Lord has not declared it. God, you need to just hear what God has said. You need to just hear what God has said. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. I'm praying for you. From this moment, whether while you are praying or when you are studying the word, let your eyes be open for the word for your destiny. I say for the word for your lifting. For me, I was doing a retreat when God showed me the key to prosperity. Psalm 25:12. He said, who is the man that feared the Lord? He said, he shall instruct in the way chosen for him. He said, he shall spend his days in prosperity. And he's saying that to inherit the earth. That was the scripture I saw. You too need that word. You need just one word. And problem, and that poverty will let it go. Because who can decree a thing and have it come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? The new question now is, who can stop a thing from coming to pass when the Lord has commanded it? Ah! The Lord has commanded your lifting. So in that Mark that they showed us, Mark 11 verse 3, he said, when you get there, if they say, who sent you, you just tell them this. That your problem now, you have to know what to go and tell it. Yes, now. He said, if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it, and he will send it back shortly. Next verse, go to verse 6. And it happened just, he said, they answered as Jesus has told them to, and the people let them go. That challenge has not let you go because you are answering according to your own positive saying. It can't be poor. Me now, me move me. And that was what happened to the sons of Sceva. In the name of Jesus, that Paul preached, come and say, the substance is not there. God, this thing you said, it doesn't have substance. You just said it. We know the people that can tell us this kind of instruction. And that's why I said, this teaching, the altar of a speaking priest, because a priest is as weak as his altar. Yes,
A priest is as weak as his altar. You are saying things and there is no altar to back it. And once there is silence on your altar, it's not inaction. There is already defeat. That is when your altar is not being fired up, when there are not activities happening on your altar, there is already defeat. So some of you have to show up in prayer not because you are feeling one malaria. Please be seated. But I'm praying for you. God will reveal your word to you. Yes. And that problem, that challenge will let you go. Yes. Now, a few futures of prophecy speaking. Number one, it is based on hope, not necessarily on faith. Yoda. And some people see die saying Yoda. You know that they die saying Yoda. I once heard somebody said that when people are sick, they should take injection. Because he, as a doctor, he has seen many people die confessing the word and they still die. I was like, Kai, that's where people used to miss. Because hope, you know that doubt and faith, they use the same channel to speak. But that the person is saying it does not mean it's faith-based. Except if they have to change the scripture. Do you know one of the reasons why the word of God, there is the principle of the word of God? Because a principle works. If you press 1 plus 1 on your calculator, and it's really a calculator and not a terminator, it's supposed to give you what, please? 2. That is how the word is. The word is predictable. Did you know when God was saying in Jeremiah, he said, I know the plan I have for you. The plan to what? Jeremiah 29:11. And then he now puts another word. It's kind now. He said, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, if you check it in, he said, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Now, if you check it in KJV, actually, KJV said, an expected end. That is, if I take for instance, it's not for me to be sure that I press 1 plus 1 is equal to what? Hope, you know, there are some times that your brain will be so occupied that you'll be trying to remember the spelling of your name. That, take for instance, I can just ask my wife that, please, spell to, like to, like something to. And I'm wondering, how did you forget to? Some 1 plus 1 you are doing, it's not as if you don't know it's 2. But to be over sure, especially if your 1 plus 1 is $1 million plus $1 million. How many of you, I hope you know that some of you now, you don't check when you are making transactions because you know that even your balance cannot do that. Because several, when I'm making transfer, I used to count the zero. I say, treasure, please. The zero behind this is how much again? Before you go and transfer something out and the person is thanking you for what he's not supposed to thank you for. Here you get. So, you're trying to go back to the word. It's not as if the word lack its potency. It's to help you, not the word. Anytime God gives you a word, it already have an expected end. God is not going to think and shut down the project of heaven because he gave you his word. Me, I am not going to suffer because God said he wants to bless you. Psalm 33:4. He said, the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalm 12:6. He said, the word of God is like silver. He said, the word that comes out of the Lord is like silver, purified 7 times. There's nothing on the screen for us. You people are just showing us. What is this? Is it flowers or clothes? You see, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver, refined in a furnace of clay, purified 7 times. I love Jeremiah 1:12, MSG. Jeremiah 1:12, MSG. He said, I will make all the word I give you come true. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I will make every word I give you come true. Psalm 105 verse 19, MSG. Psalm 105 verse 19, MSG. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Psalm 105 verse 8. He said, until God's word came to the Pharaoh. Ha! I like that. I say God's word is coming to your the Pharaoh. Did you know how many times God's word came to Pharaoh before Pharaoh allowed him? You are the one that is tired. Keep showing up like Moses. Until God's word came to the Pharaoh and God confirmed his promise. If God's word has not gone out, there is no promise for you. And that is why in that 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, we have been reciting all here and here. He said, no matter how many promises God make in Christ, it is yes. He said, and the amen, so be it, is spoken by us. The so be it is spoken by us. Let God's word go to your deferral. That your deferral can be your limitation. Can be that thing that is an obstacle to you. I decree and declare. I say, let God's word go there now. Amen. There's a shift. Amen. It is done. Amen. It's settled. In Jesus' name. So, element of positive speaking, based on hope, not necessarily on faith. Rooted in self-belief or will power, not in God's word. It motivates the mind, but does not move mountains. Your mind is motivated, but it doesn't move mountains. It was Kenneth Hagin who said, you can talk positively without talking faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Then confession actually is affirming something we believe, testifying to something we know, and declaring something we have accepted. That is a conviction we are accepted of. You know that you have made the payment. One will be labored. Some of you, your marriage is already rebuilt. You already have the joy of the owner. Your lifting, your spiritual lifting is already rebuilt. You already have the joy of the owner. Here are a few features of confession. It is word-based, not emotion-based. You don't have to feel it. You just know it. I just know. I can't be poor. I can't be sickly. I can't be limited. I am lifted. I am the ransom of the Lord. I return always with mind-blowing testimony. I don't need to feel it. I just know. Second, it releases faith, not just feelings. That's a feature of confession. It is word-based. Then it creates reality. It is the believer's cooperation with divine law. Then it requires heart belief and mouth agreement. You cannot be saying it with your mouth and it's lacking your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speak. And then the Bible says in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6, Luke 6:45. If I'm not incorrect, Luke 6:45. He said, a good man out of the good store up in him, fling forth good things. He said, and a bad man out of the bad store up in him, fling forth bad things. Luke 6:45. This person needs prayer. Yeah, give me Genesis. He said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. You have to do investment in your heart. Invest in the word. I wrote something in my notes. I will just say it if time permits. I say one of the feedback that you have actually, you don't have the word in your heart, is when they ask you to pray in understanding. Nonsense conversation. You ask me to pray for any person, I know up to like 5 scripture I will use. You ask me to pray for graduates, I know 5 scripture I will use. If not, I say, oh yeah, sorry, bye. Ba, bo, ba, bo, ba, bo. You know that nonsense conversation. A feedback now, try it, go and pray for 1 hour, don't pray in tongues. You'll be empty. The word is lack, and I'm not saying that you have your Bible. Don't give me a Bible, in 1 hour I'll still be talking. I'll move it to my heart. It'll be to one. A good man out of the good, stop up in his heart. And that's why many of you, he's already hear me that is in your heart. When issue happens, you say, Uri yamio. Some of you will have said, Ogunlakaye. You have watched too much of Nollywood. You know the incantation. You say mean doctor native. It's an in-house joke. You see, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And then I love something Pastor Olakunle Soriyan said. Soriyan or something. Yeah. And I said it before, I'll say it again. He said, you don't steal. No, you are not a thief because you stole. He said, you steal because you are a thief. Because life will not demand out of you what is not in you. If you don't have the capacity to steal, hope you know that capacity can lie dormant until you are given the opportunity. You are the one that say, me, I cannot sleep with any sister. Let them be walking around naked. They are like tree. Wow. If that is the reality, we need to pray for you when you marry, because you are not going to give birth. So much so that the Bible did not give us 7 prayer points on how to deal with it. It's flee, the Bible said. Even the Bible did not trust you. He said, any appearance, once you see that this is an appearance of a rainy, what did Joseph last summer, as disciplined as Joseph was? Baba Ferigi. It was something that was sinking to his strength. He put his head. Say, me fall. Me, I'm the mighty man. I can't fall. He did not follow. He died. With his eyes removed. Let me tell you the truth. If they squeeze you very well, your real substance will come out. So people are not thieves because they stole. They steal because they are thieves. So if for any reason we put this cup here now, and we have seen it inside your bag as you are going out, you don't say, it's a mistake. It's not a mistake. You need deliverance. That thing is there. I hope you know in Nigeria, it is favor when you are the one stealing. Then it becomes corruption if it not benefit. And it's the infantry you even have to come and share testimony. Because a good man, out of the good, stole up in his heart, fling forth good things. If you want to have good confession, the Bible is good enough. Stole up. He says that, what have I done in my heart? Psalm 119, verse 11. That I may not sin against you. I've eaten it inside. It's here. Then verse 13 of it. He said, I transfer to my lips all the counsels that come from your mouth. If you can transfer it to your lips, it means it's coming from your heart. So those are the elements of confession. Now let's go to our scripture. Time, the way people are always flying time in this church, it's only God that will help us. But are we getting blessed or blessed? Because there's no way I could have gone to the altar of a speaking priest if you don't understand positive speaking and confession. Now, it's a long read. Please give me 1 Kings. But why is bringing that for us? Can you just pray in the language of the Spirit? For in Jesus' mighty name have we pray. 1 Kings 18 from verse 21. Just follow me carefully. Why they are giving us that? I want you to write this down. Apostle Aaron said something powerful. He said, until your altar begins to speak, your life will be governed by other voices. You'll be a victim of other people's altar. I think it was Mount Zion that wrote this movie, Blood on the Altar. No, they have written plenty on altar. Something about altar, let me tell you guys. You see, things cannot happen in your lineage and continue if they are not sponsored by altars. It's scriptural. There's nothing, take for instance, if people have miscarriage, people are dying by 40, people are dying whatever. That thing cannot exist if there is no altar backing it. An altar ensure continuity of anything. And that is why in 1 Kings 13, before we even go to this 1 Kings 18, in 1 Kings 13, what happened was that when God sent the prophet, that prophet that they know named from Bethel, when he went to Judah and started making decrees, Israel rather, and started making decree to Jeroboam or something like that, Jeroboam, the first thing he did was to make sure that he destroyed the altar. It was until the altar was destroyed that his own strength was higher. Look at it now. He said he cried out. He cried against the altar by the word of the Lord. Was his idea? You can't go to your village and say, remove the shrine, and you kick it. You see that leg that are using to kick the thing. If he's not powered by the word of the Lord, there's issue. So he said, oh, altar, this is what the Lord said. A son named Josiah shall be born to the house of David. On you, he will sacrifice the priest of the high places, who will now make offering here and whatever. Next verse, very quickly. He now said, the same day, this is the sign the Lord has. The altar will split apart. Hey, let me pray for someone. Everything that is sponsoring your pain, that is coming from altars, on the strength of these scriptures, I decree and declare, I say, let those altars be split apart. Yeah. Let your ashes be poured out. Listen to me, guys. Altars, that is why these people are wise. They don't go into any covenant until they establish an altar. Even when the people are long dead, the altar will continue to function. There are some prayers we are praying now that our children will benefit from. Because generational blessing is stronger than generational curse. If you can benefit, or if you can receive the consequence of a generational curse, who tell you that you can't receive the reward of generational blessing? Altars. Let me give you opportunity to pray. But before you pray, I want to show you something. Give me Matthew. Matthew 23 from verse 16. The altar of a speaking priest. Please, can we read this together? He said, what to you, blind guides? You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, have it? But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by this oath. Next verse. He said, you blind fools, which one is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? Wait. He's saying that the gold is not sacred. The gold is a normal gold. The thing you are saying is a normal word until there is a temple that embodies it. Next verse, look at this. He said, you also say, if I swear by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, it is bound by the altar. Look at what Jesus now said. Next verse, he said, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes? Everything negative or good that is happening in your life is backed by altars. That is what Jesus said. He said it is not the gift you put on the altar that make the altar sacred. It is the altar that determines the outcome of any gift. When I saw this scripture, I knew that life is spiritual. I don't engage in anything. Ask our people. Before we came into this place, any witch that decides to say anything, what the law? Because it's a war of altars against altar. And we come with a rod of a higher priesthood. You don't dare some things in life, oh, if you don't have a solid altar. Everything you are going to be seeing in the building church or in our life are sponsored on the strength of our altar. Because a weak priest is showing a reflection of a weak altar. Never allow the reason why you should pray be the reason you are not praying. There's going to be a repairing of some altar tonight. I want to give you 1 minute to just pray. Don't worry, we'll see pray later on. But I need you to pray in the language of the Spirit. Don't worry, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Because every negative water is about to be split apart. The hashes on it, which signify its continuity, is about to be destroyed also. Is that you are praying? Hey, God, hey, Listen to me, guys. Anything negative, I used to get angry, I used to have occasional sickness. Those things are powered by altars. There are altars that back these things up. But if these are you are going to pray, I don't know how I can help you. The Bible said the sacredness of a gift is dependent on the altar that is powering it. This way you are praying, I'm still suspecting you. Are you in the building church at all? First deal with negative altars that are powering negative things in your life. I decree and declare those altars will be split open. They will be split apart. And their ashes will pour out. It's one of the signs the Lord has declared. Including the Lord deal with altars. Arama kosene kalamana kosikai. Hey! Your lifting is here. Your deliverance is here. Makatela rika de susubala tomba. I like this. Yes, pray. Yeah, pray. Pray the way they do you. Pray. Nobody should not be praying at this moment. Anything that is consistent, be it negative or positive, is powered by altars. Yeah, yes. Anyone that is negative, you are seeing your life. The Bible already shows, it said the Lord declare, let the altar be split. And let the ashes on it be poured out. This is what the Lord has declared.
You are just consistently having sickness. Sickness, you know, it can end, it can end. Ambakai. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation.
Yahweh. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Yahweh is here. I cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua, so kind and easy. I cry, holy, holy, unto Yeshua, Yahweh.
Jesus' mighty name, how we pray. Again, I declare over you, but don't forget, God says, some of you, do you know the strangest? Is that some of you have been seeing goodness happening to others except you. Hi. And that's why, don't forget that scripture I say, God gave me, will give you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Is it 1, 2, 3? 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3. He said, for you will taste the goodness and the kindness of God. Before this month ends, a major miracle is going to happen in your life. Yeah. Listen to me. Anything that is consistent, whether good or bad, is powered by others. It's powered by others. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, from that scripture that we read the other time, in 1 Kings 13, I say, let, he said, as the Lord has declared, let the altar split apart. Yeah. Every negative water, I say, let it split apart. Yeah. Let the ashes on it be poured out. Yeah. Do you know what ashes is? Ashes actually speak of experience. Some of you, that the last time you experienced that pain, the ashes is poured out already. You are living from hand to mouth. People have talked down on you. Maybe because they need to assist you. And end to that kind of experience. Every negative experience you have, that is giving you pain day and night. You are borrowing from here, borrowing there, borrowing there, and you are walking. In the name of Jesus, I say, let the ashes be poured out. Because the Bible says, this is the sign the Lord has declared. The Lord has declared it is established. I say every altar of pain, every altar of retrogression, every altar of delay, let it be split apart. Yeah. And while I was praying, that God said to say to somebody, every altar that is also positive that have been split apart, I declare it's rebuilding. Yeah. Positive altars, I say let them be rebuilt. Yeah. It is settled though. Yeah. It's done. In Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. Well, let me wrap this up because my time is fast. And please, let me sit here. Let me just wrap this up. We'll be out of this place in no time. Don't worry. So I said, unto your altar, please carry me back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Thank you. I don't need to go. Just sit down. So that when we just finish, you won't need to be moving up and down. Just sit down there and be writing your own altar things on the altar. Until your altar begins to speak, your life will be governed by other voices. Every altar has a voice. The altar of a speaking priest is what keeps the destiny of a man, family, or territory alive. When your altar goes silent, your destiny becomes vulnerable. That's why I pity people that don't pray.
You see, the landing port of the supernatural is the altar of prayer. You see, the way you have airports, hope you know that a plane cannot land anywhere. Like the way airports are generated, the landing port for your breakthrough, for the supernatural, is land on the altar of prayer. Once they are active, did you know that Abraham created an altar? Jacob went to sleep on that altar and he saw Jesus. He said, I saw a ladder. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 2 verse 51 later on that he was the ladder. That is our portal. Do you know how many generations, how many years since that portal was created in Genesis? That he just lied down. He became a victim, a positive victim of spiritual possibilities by lying down in a place. Kai! Some of you are lying down in positive places now. He lied down. The Bible said, he said, when I crossed across this Jordan, it was only my staff. He said, but now God has made me to two camps. Kai! You have encounters. Amen. These are the defining factors of any priest. Number one, the priest must have encounter, because encounters bat convictions. Please don't allow them explain God to you. Encounter God. God cannot be explained, he can be met. Yes. Your conviction is going to be weak. Listen to me. I don't do jazz. I don't do jazz. I had encounter with the God of the Bible. So nobody can talk me out of. In your damn moment, is that encounter that will hold your conviction? Hey, they did not explain God to me. I met God. All this preaching I'm doing now, it won't solidify your conviction until you have encounter with the God of the Bible. So as a priest, if you have not have encounter, you are not a priest, or you are a priestling. No. The first thing that the first two that must be in a priest bag is encounter. Because those encounters must be followed up with prayers. Those encounters are the ones that build convictions and establish altars. That somebody just went to sleep where his grandfather had built an altar and he saw the gate of heaven. He saw the gate of heaven. That is the possibility that some of us want to give our grandchildren to. It's not that they are going up and down with generational curse. He said, who curses? He says, his father. Generational curse. Who curses? His father. And then he's sharing it with his cousin. See, your life is going to create a new order. And for your life to create a new order, you must have others. The next thing is separation. No priest can boast of anything without separation. The next thing is consecration. The next thing is fire. And the last thing is utterance. There is no priest that does not speak. Where? If there is one, and you happen to be that one, then you are a discovery. Now, let's read this scripture together. Because my time, this time it is in fly, right? I was thinking I have time. The kind of time I prepare, maybe it's over 7 hours. Don't worry. 7 hours learning to it. I think we'll continue some of these things. We'll have time to teach some things. I don't know. God is just giving me permission to teach some things I have never taught before, actually. I don't think I've ever taught anything on altar before. I don't think so. But I know others. It's not as if I don't know. I don't teach them. Okay, let's read. Father, we thank you. Don't worry, it's that retreat that we'll have time for ourselves very well. We won't be looking at time. Because the way I'm looking at time now, I don't even know what to say. Like, where to go and pick what I want to say from. But at least really help us. Or how about looking at time? And then time is even getting more brighter. Alright, please, let's read together. It's a long read, but let's read. Because all the points I want to give are actually from this scripture.
Where? 2-3 go. Let's read. Elijah went before the people and said, how long? If God follow him and all of that, yes, then they said nothing. He said, then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of next verse. Don't worry, that's why you have to be a Bible student. Just be good. And to pick two bulls for us, let them choose one, I'll choose another. Next verse. Actually, I want to show you how some of us are doing as priests. He said, then call on the hand. And that's why I said, there are 5 tools that must be in the tools box of a priest. Number one is a canter. Right? Encounters. Encounters about conviction. Number 2 is separation. Number 3 is what? Consecration. Number 4, fire. Number 5, utterance. So Elijah is saying that if you guys are sure that you are priests, come out. Let us use utterance to validate. Utterance is the last one. He did not start it. You don't start as a priest as utterance. Encounter is the foundation of your priesthood. Then from that encounter, you not separate yourself. From separation, you enter consecration. From consecration, fire may land you. Then from fire, you begin to speak from that altar. So, and when Lee want to miss class, Elijah said to them, come and talk. Let us come and talk and check priesthood. Let's come and talk. Every person come out. Let's talk and see who has a solid priesthood. And these guys are very foolish. They just came out. They did not check their priesthood. They went to the last one, which is utterance. You don't just wake up and say, I can't be die. I can't be whatever. Whoa. Don't let them use you as part of the statistics of people that say they can't die and they died. Because if you don't have encounters, if you have not made the book of the Bible, you stand before Pharaoh, like Apostle Samuel would say, you die like a chicken. But not you in the name of Jesus. He says, so they took the bull. Can you see foolishness? They took the bull, giving them and prepared. Then they call. That's where they start their own. Utterance. Look at it. He said, then they call from morning till noon. Oba, answer us. Elohim's your. So travel. They shouted, listen to me. And I said, the weight of your word is not in the volume. Kai. Oh. The weight of your word is not in volumes. Baba, the way does not shout the way I'm doing. If he sneezes here, hell will shake. It's not in the volume. It's the conviction that is backing what you are saying. Ah. Oh, you can't be poor. I say you can't be small. He said, then, he said, but there was no response. Ha. Hope the farm make the ass sick. But a longing for fear is a tree of life. Listen to me. The last no response you have is the last you have. Because if you understand priesthood, is that they have not borne that thing where not to respond. He says, speak to this mountain. Don't forget, positive speaking is a motivation, but you can't move mountain. You are motivated, you are saying things, optimistic. He said, and no answer. Then they danced. Kai, it's not drama. They danced around the altar they had made. He said, then they took the next place. He said, at noon. Elijah now began to turn them. And then I said that when you are in priesthood, oh man, sure of when if I was Elijah, I would be meditating, I would be sober and vigilant, be in meditating position. Elijah was even playing. Do you hear what he was doing? Then he now began to turn them and say, shout louder! He said, surely he's a God. Perhaps he has gone into a deep thought. Oh, he's busy. I'll be able to travel. Where God didn't take me flights. Oh, Tijapa. You know, that was what he was doing. Instead of him to be focused on ha, and I said that is an expected end in priesthood. It's not guesswork. You show up and every place is shaking already. Miracles are performed twice. First in the secret place and then everyone. And that's why I say you have two lives. If you don't live well in the spirit realm, it will show in the physical. Because the physical is at the mercy of the spiritual. Please let me celebrate the sand people. It's been a while that my hand have I've been this free. Because even before you went to preach, I'm just feeling it. Ah, Kai. Let me celebrate it. Because I'm shocked that I did not use the hand when I was praying. And I was hearing myself. Ha, that is a law of miracle. These guys are certified now. I'm telling you. The altar is solid. Please stay there. He said, surely he is a God. Perhaps he has traveled. He's sleeping. Oh,
We need somebody to go and wake him. Next verse. He says, so they shouted louder and they took his advice. And splashed themselves with sword and spears. Kai! When power is lacking, drama will exist. Drama. You do like this. You say, hey, now stand up. If by the God of whatever, you are not speaking. You even, God. May power not be lacking on your altar. He said, as was their custom, until blood begins to flow. He said, midway pass, and they continue their frantic prophesying until, take note, prophesying, which is confession, proclamation. Until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no still response, no answer, no one paid attention. How can you, a whole priest, show up to represent God before the people and nobody pay attention, including God? You have been saying that thing for 10 years. Are you not tired? You better go and look for power where power exists. In God. Before you go and draw a cut, you can take there is power there. That thing is not power. It's bondage. Next verse. Because my time. Long since the time we. He said, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. They came to him and he repeated. When I was writing this, God said to somebody that you will need to go and repair that altar. That prayer, this is not how you started. You used to be a prayer machine. Now things happen along the way. The altar has been destroyed. And you are praying without an altar. That was where they missed it. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Nothing solid can happen without an altar. Like somebody, hope you know that somebody that is fetching water into basket is working, but there's no result. That is what happens when you pray and there is no altar to sponsor your prayer. When you make declaration and your declaration is not coming from an altar, don't forget the Bible says it is not the gift that make the altar sacred. It is this altar that make the gift sacred. That means it's not what you are saying that will bring about the result. It's from where you are saying it. God. Elijah said to them, come here, repair. Next verse, sir. He said, Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob. These are he was repairing the altar. To whom the word of the Lord has come, saying, your name shall be Israel. Next verse. He said, with the stones, just take note. I'm going to give you 5 altars you need to rebuild from this scripture. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 stairs of sea. So the first thing I need to take note of is stones. The second thing I need to take note of is the trench. The next thing I need to take note of, next verse, is wood. He arranged the wood. He said he cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. He said, then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water, and poured it on the offering and on the wood. Next verse, very quickly. He said, do it again. They said, did it 3rd time. Go to the next verse because of my time. The way this time is flying. He said, the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trenches. Next verse, he said, at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. That means he said something. He did not see anything until the altar was in the state. He said, Elijah stepped forward and prayed. Oh Lord, God of whatever, I've done this in your command. According to, take note, he did not pray nonsense prayer. He was praying what the Lord has told him. Those other ones, they were not even sure if their God was the one that sent them. They were just saying anything and smashing themselves with whatever. Because the God had not given them any word. Which word will he come back up? So Elijah said, and that I, your servant, have done all these things at your command. That means that this thing I'm going to call down fire for now is you that commanded it because I have an encounter with you. Next verse. So he said, and answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you are God and turn him back. And next verse. He said, then. Kai Farabinas. The fire of the Lord fell and burnt up. Now, take note of how many things burnt. Number one, it burnt the sacrifice. One of the altar you need in your life is called the altar of sacrifice. He burnt the altar. He burnt up the sacrifice, number one. The second altar you need, he said, and the altar, the wood. The wood here is synonymous to the word. Please show me. Okay, let's agree. Do we have a few minutes to spare? Okay, because now I'm trying to jump plenty things. I mean, this and it's as if I'm not saying anything. And I'm trying to finish, so I don't know. Okay. The wood. Give me Proverbs 26 verse 20 and 21. I want to show you something about the wood, which I say is the word of God. Proverbs 26. Please read this together. Without. And without. 21 call. Wait. Go back to verse 20 and give me an MSG. So you know what wood is. MSG, sir. Please, can we read this together? Next verse. Next verse, sir. Now, wait. Actually, I don't know which translation. Maybe Living Bible. There was a translation I used for. Hope you know that wood, actually. Wood in itself is supposed to be classified in Living Bible. Thank you. You say fire goes out for lack of fire. Because now I'm saying wood. Some of you are like, I'm wood. You see, that gas is a fire. It's gas. When gas finish, how many of you can cook beans without gas? Like you have the burner, but there's no gas. That is what happened when you are trying to cook destiny. And there is no fuel. The word of God is the fuel for anything you are saying. Yeah, the word of God is the fuel. Anything you are saying, the word of God is the one that will keep it burning. The fire will go out as soon as it's. How many of you can use lighter to cook indomie? You know, at least indomie is major. Lighter to cook indomie. Anybody? That thing does not have fuel. The essence of a lighter is to keep a fire burning. Don't know how to say this. So your confession is like a lighter. When you say something, the thing that it will keep burning is the word. When you say it, is the word that will continue to burn, not what you have said. But that your word that you said is like the lighter. That is keeping the word burning. So after you left there, the word, how many of you have seen where a house burn? A house will not burn if it doesn't have fire around. Fire can be foam, fire can be wood, anything that can be burnable once there is a spark. And that's why you see when there is a spark in a house, is once that spark exists, it can be as tiny as anything. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible likened your tongue to that spark. It says a whole forest is set ablaze by fire. What it implies that the forest there is the word of God. Oh, your tongue, what you said is the spark of fire. It's in James. James 3, I think. It's the spark of fire. Your tongue can say, he said likewise, the tongue is a small part of body, but it makes whatever. He said, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You just say something small and it's having extraordinary effect. Because there is a forest of the word that will keep that spark burning. So I can say that Jeremiah James, I can never be small, and my men will not be few. And I go to rest. It is the word of God I have that now carry the forest effect, and then the spark I gave it continue to burn until that word is executed. That is the partnership of your tongue. Your tongue is a small spark. That thing you are going to confess, it needs forest to keep burning. It needs forest. Kai. out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speak. A good man out of the good is stored up in his heart, filling forth good things. A priest that is bankrupt of the word, we need many lighter. You more bad one, you more confession. You more confession. But once the spark exists, the forest is set ablaze because there is fire. And that's why the Bible says in that proverb, he said, without fire, the fire ceases. No matter how many spark you have, the fire ceases. The altar of a speaking priest. I think you people have tried enough for me with the time you give me. Let me round up. As a priest, you have an advantage. And your advantage is that you are not the one speaking. There is a high priest that speaks. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 12:24, it said, and the blood of Jesus speak a better thing than the blood of Abel. Hope you know, when Abel was dead, because of the altar his life was, his blood was speaking while he was dead. And then while I was writing this down, God said to say to you, he said, from now, you are going to be speaking from a better than standpoint. Because look at it. He said, and to speak, and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. I want you to carry a consciousness that when you say something, Jesus is echoing it. Ah! He's speaking it better than poverty. Ah! Every altar you neglect becomes a voice against your destiny. I'm praying for you. I have five altars that you need here. Number one, the altar of sacrifice. This one is sponsored by obedience. Number two, the altar of consecration. Number three, the altar of prayers. Number four, the altar of the word. Number five, the altar of the heart. That is your heart. But let me just jump to how to build. I have five things on how to build and maintain your altar. Number one, set fixed times of communion and prayer. As you're going back home now, set fixed time. Have a time of prayer. Consistency is key in altars. The frequency at which, hope you know, if something is consistent enough, a spirit will sponsor it. Either the spirit of God or a devilish spirit. Why do you think that they used to appease gods at Oritameta, at demons? It's because of the frequency of things that happened there. So there are beings that patrol that thing has automatically set an altar. If you don't have an altar of prayer, if there is no frequency, if there are no continuity, if there is no consistency there, that thing is not an altar. Agbadu. Prayer should be continuous and should be consistent. If you are praying five, show up by five. That is how to service your altar. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus chapter 6 verse 12 and 13, it said, let the priest priest put wood on the altar. He said, let the fire not go out. Morning by morning, let him keep burning. What it implies is that morning by morning means that there is consistency. There must be a time you must show up. Number two is what? Is keep a written record of declarations. Number three, surround your environment with worship. Number four, partner your altar with giving and service. Then engage in prophetic confessions daily. I say you are blessed. So. Kai, you are saying, you are your amen, standing on one leg. I say you are blessed. Amen. And the hand of God is evident upon your life. Amen. Have you been blessed or blessed? Bless God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious Service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Beckerdings, Tanke Okyodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.